Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. I have a note to pass along that coincides with having just mentioned the website, and I will get to that as this episode goes along. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can email me via bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We sometimes will hear after a big game, a lot of times a championship, about significant injuries that one or more athletes were playing with. For a variety of reasons, they just don't talk openly about something painful that they're wrestling with. Yet, we know that there is groaning, there are aches and pains, getting out of bed in the morning, but they summon up what's necessary to get to practice or to their game and compete in a way that they can take solace knowing that they quote-unquote left it all on the field or on the court or the ice. For non-athletes, there is emotional pain, there are struggles, there are real challenges in family life, at work, that unfortunately are ready to try to inflict mental anguish when the alarm clock goes off and or the sun rises on a new day. Fortunately, our loving Father is there to help us face those burdens. I saw something that presented Psalm 143, verse 8, as follows. God's unfailing love meets me every morning. I can choose to trust that He will show me the steps to take, end quote. And now to read it from the New American Bible, quote, "In the morning, let me hear of your mercy, for in you I trust. Show me the path I should walk, for I entrust my life to you." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been a coach in the National Football League for 26 seasons, including serving as senior defensive assistant with the Cincinnati Bengals for the last four seasons now. Previously, he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for three seasons, which had been preceded by 2 years on the coaching staff of the Miami Dolphins after having spent 8 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He also worked with the Green Bay Packers and has come full circle as his NFL coaching career started with Cincinnati in 1997. Prior to the NFL, my guest coached 22 years in the college ranks, including 11 as a head coach. Back in his days as a student athlete, he played college football at William & Mary and would later be inducted into the school's Hall of Fame. On the faith side, he will be a speaker later this month at the National Men's Conference. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mark Duffner.
Bruce, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Absolutely, Mark. Thank you. Clearly, we have a lot to cover, but let's start first by having you take us all the way back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised? What was the family size, and where did you fall among the children in your family, oldest, youngest, etc.?
Sure, Bruce. Well, I was born in Washington, D.C., and was from a big family, eight in a family, my mom and dad, six of us as children, and I was fifth in that rank. Okay. I had two older brothers and two older sisters and a younger sister, so a great family and experience I wouldn't trade for anything.
Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were a young boy.
Well, we were regular Sunday mass goers. Now that we're in Lent, as Lent has just started, we would generally get together in the evening as a family and go and say the rosary, or in the afternoon sometimes. I have to say, when I was younger, like 5 and 6 and 7 years old, I'd generally be in the midst of a great game and we would get called in to say the rosary at neighborhood game. But at any rate, we all went to Catholic school. Three of my siblings went to Catholic high school. I went to public high school, but a very active Catholic family growing up.
And an uncle, I believe, that was in the clergy?
Oh, yes. My father's brother, Uncle Paul Duffner, was a Dominican priest and a very strong advocate for the rosary. In fact, he led the rosary division, if you will, in Oregon. He lived to be 103 years old, but a very devout and religious man in terms of my Uncle Paul, Dominican priest, yes.
And I read that you were so involved in the church that you actually saw it as a possible career choice.
Well, you know, as a young man, I was influenced very much by my uncle and then by other priests in our parish, St. Michael's in Annandale, Virginia. Great, great group of priests. And so the influence that they had on me, and also, frankly, the influence I had from my teachers, which happened to be the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, IHM nuns, if you will. I had a great exposure to religious life, what that would be like, and certainly was looking at that strongly as a possible option for me as a career.
And I believe that it's because you had a quote-unquote front row seat. Yes, you were an altar server?
Well, yeah. Bruce, from fourth grade through 12th grade, I was an altar boy and enjoyed that experience very much. And actually, when I was in high school, too, I became a lecturer, if you will, during Sunday Mass. And then also have since now become a Eucharistic minister and sometimes utilize that responsibility in our masses that we have for our team here with the Bengals.
And folks, I want to make sure that you picked up on the fact that Mark said that his uncle, who is the Dominican priest, lived to be 103 years old. Last November, on episode 197 of this show, my guest was Sister Jean Schmidt, who has become known as the team chaplain for the men's basketball team at Loyola University Chicago. And at the time that she and I were recording that interview, she was 103 years old. I believe she still is. I think she won't turn 104 until this coming August. I know she even has a book coming out. So clearly, when the religious life calls you, it's for life. And Mark's uncle showed that, and Sister Jean is showing it as well. Mark, let's talk sports a bit here. You started playing football in high school, and even though I said in the intro that you went on to play in college too, the way I understand it is that when you were playing in high school, instead of being a priest, your focus was already shifting to becoming a football coach someday. Talk about that, because it sounds like good testimony for the parents and coaches who are listening right now in terms of just how much of an impression can be made on a young student athlete.
Well, there's no question about that, Bruce. As I mentioned to you, in my grade school years, probably the most influential people I had, as I mentioned, were the sisters and certainly the priests that I had the privilege to be around. And then when I got into high school, it was my high school coaches that certainly influenced me and many of my teammates in terms of making decisions on how to work hard, how to pay the price for things that you wanted to accomplish. And their impact on myself and others was so strong that I said, gee, I certainly think I'd like to have a similar impact on students if I had the privilege to teach them and coach them. So I kind of started the shift to being thinking about becoming a high school teacher and coach, and ultimately it morphed into being a college coach and an NFL coach.
Yeah, in fact, my Catholic sports radio ministry is built largely on sports are great, and it's okay to want to make a career out of being a pro athlete and getting that big contract, but we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. And so, Mark, here you were playing college football at William & Mary, and yet you were able to make peace with, nope, I'm not going to try to go play in the NFL. Do I have that right? Walk us through that mindset and how you were able to find that peace.
Well, everybody, I think, aspires to be the best you can be at anything and whatever your passion is for. And so that kind of be the best Catholic I can be the best student athlete I could be, all those things were certainly in my focus, if you will. And when I finished playing collegiate football, I started thinking, where could I have the best impact on people and also and utilizing my talents? I opted to pursue a graduate degree and was lucky enough to become a graduate assistant coach for Woody Hayes at Ohio State, and that started my college coaching career.
And in fact, I believe that Lou Holtz had some say in that, and he has been on this show also. Folks, hopefully you heard my conversation with Lou Holtz. You might say that Mark was rewarded for his humility, and it's quite a story about him actually becoming the head coach at William & Mary. But first, though, before I have him share that with us, I said back at the very beginning of this episode that I had a note about the website to pass along. I totally forgot that I once registered a domain name other than CatholicSportsRadio.net because a trusted web developer taught me this trick about picking up domain names that are similar to whatever is your main website address, meaning a URL that someone might mistakenly put in, and then it redirects and they end up at your website after all. Anyhow, I'm not going to say what that other one is that I own because I don't want to confuse anyone, and I do want you to always just remember CatholicSportsRadio.net. The fact is, though, that I had gotten an email recently from GoDaddy saying that that other name will renew soon. So the cost of renewing that is just the latest example of yet another expense that I face in operating all things Catholic Sports Radio. It bears repeating that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that all the expenses that come up, I have to find a way out of my own pocket to try to pay. You've heard me mention in the past when guests on this show, as well as listeners, have made a gift to help me in that regard. I can tell you that a listener named Mark from Sugar Hill, Georgia, north of Atlanta, recently made a gift to my ministry. He included a note on there wishing me a happy four-year anniversary of this show, and he indicated that he is a longtime listener of every episode. So thank you so much for that, Mark, as everything helps as I work to continue utilizing the mix of faith and sports to touch the lives of more brothers and sisters in Christ. Mark used the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to send in his gift to my ministry. That method is fast and easy. It's by all means secure. And that's where he was, and you are, able to include a note with that for me to see. Some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, though. And for those folks, I encourage you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. And I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As you're hearing me do on this episode, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or through the mail, or you can ask me to keep your name confidential and merely say an anonymous donor. Trust me when I say that it all helps very much and that it means so, so much to me. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Mark, as I started into all that, I mentioned about the point in your career when you became the head coach at William & Mary. Share that story with us.
No, actually, Bruce, it was I became the head coach at Holy Cross.
Okay.
And Holy Cross College is in Massachusetts, Worcester, Massachusetts. It's a Jesuit school. And I had been the defensive coordinator there for five seasons, and after the fifth season that I was on the staff there, our head football coach, Rick Carter, passed away. Mm. And so then I became the head football coach. And it was quite a blow to our team, the loss of our head coach at that time. He was a highly successful and very, very popular head coach. And so when I became the head coach, it was a little bit of a downtime, if you will, certainly. But I absolutely know for a fact that I was touched and led and guided by the Holy Spirit as we moved forward to bring the program back on its feet a little bit. And for those next 6 years, we had tremendous success both on and off the field. And I'm certain it's because of the direction and the plan that was given to me and shared to me and others in our program for us to kind of build a program back to prominence.
And I wonder if you noticed a difference being in a Catholic environment as opposed to coaching out in somewhere in the U.S. where it's going to be a secular program?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, the Jesuits are the order that Holy Cross is run by, and certainly the staff of the Jesuit priest there, Father Brooks, who was our president at the time, and the rest of the staff were all extremely instrumental in the team and the program recovering from the loss of Coach Carter. And it was just, it's on Mount St. James in Worcester, which is kind of a big mountain, not mountain, but hill in the city. And so we were a little closer to the heavens, even by altitude, if you will. So the Catholic influence and certainly the Jesuit presence were extremely strong and instrumental in the return of the program.
So then on a similar note, way, way back in the very early days of this show, all the way back on episode 16 from May 2019, my guest was Father Chuck Dornquist, the team priest for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You knew him from your days on the Bucs coaching staff. I know he talked back then with me about celebrating Mass for the team. You've been with five different NFL franchises. Is that common across the league? Do y'all have that with the Bengals?
Yes, we do, Bruce, and it's something that Ray McKenna and Catholic Athletes for Christ direct, if you will. All the teams in the NFL have a Catholic chaplain, and also through the Catholic Athletes for Christ, they are accessible in terms of having a Catholic priest conduct a Mass when you're on the road. So it's been a tremendous opportunity for us as Catholics to be able to celebrate Mass when we're either at home or on the road.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I wonder, how do you make your Catholic faith known outside of the Mass while still respecting boundaries? And what I'm referring to is players feeling comfortable coming to you to talk about their faith and not about football. It might be a combination of the two, but I'm sure those discussions must go on. You've been in the league for so long. I'm sure that athletes are aware of your devotion to your faith.
Well, I think that, I think, Bruce, they can recognize in the way you conduct yourself, and I'm certainly not perfect, but I think that they can see in the way you conduct yourself and how you interact with them and the other coaches and other people around the building, you know, where you are, how faith-filled you are. And I've been fortunate to have a number of great experiences with our players, and you can do this in the NFL. You know, sometimes people think, well, it's a business and that's all it's going to go on. Well, no, you're able to develop, you know, excellent relationships with the players. When they understand that you're genuine and they trust you, then it's funny how much they observe, and they don't miss a trick. So they can see very quickly how you conduct yourself, the character you display, and the type of religion that you're all about. So it's been a great opportunity to continue to witness that way.
Mm, fantastic. Fantastic. And you hit the nail on the head when you say everybody thinks of, well, it's a business. And so I think, Mark, you would agree that it is refreshing to know that despite the fact that it's a business, that there is very much an effort being made with helping one another be brothers and sisters in Christ and support each other in our faith lives.
There's no question about it, Bruce. In fact, I'd say that that has clearly been evident in this particular team, the Cincinnati Bengals, the last two seasons. All these NFL teams have talent. But I think what separates them are really the character, and I'm talking both the religious and personal character of your team and how they interact and how much they care about one another. And that sounds like coach speak, but it's the truth. So I think that there's any success that this team's had the last 2 years, which has been strong, a Super Bowl competitor and an AFC championship team competitor, has been evidenced because of that, the relationships, the genuine relationships that have been formed, and certainly with Christ in the center of it all. So it's been a tremendous thing to be a part of and to witness.
Mm, great testimony. Great testimony. I read that at one point in your life, you wanted to become the first American Pope. When was that, and how long did that desire last?
Well, it started right around the time I was probably in fifth or sixth grade. And again, it's because of, you know, how strong the influence was of our parish priests in St. Michael's in Virginia. And I said, what the heck? If I'm going to go for it, I'm going to go for the top, you know. And that went, it was still pretty strong in my life until around maybe my junior year in high school. Then I started to shift more towards the coaching end of it. But it was something that, I was anxious to do that and then pursue being the best I could be.
Later this month, you will be speaking at the National Men's Conference, which fittingly is in Cincinnati. Talk about being a part of that huge event.
Well, it's a brief word. Myself and one of our players, Ted Terrace, an offensive captain, offensive center, have both been asked to participate, and what a tremendous honor for us to have a chance to learn and listen and participate in what will be, I think, an outstanding men's conference here in Cincinnati. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big, big event and with some tremendous speakers and an opportunity to reflect and witness and participate is something that I know both myself and Ted Karras are excited about.
Yeah, and folks, if you're not going to be able to make it to Cincinnati, that is being offered virtually as well. So if you want to hear what Coach Duffner has to say at that event and just can't make it to Ohio, then by all means do purchase the virtual pass so that you can sit and watch that online. Mark, I have to ask you, being in the NFL as long as you have, is it just me or does it seem like the post-game prayer circle on the field has gotten bigger and bigger and more prevalent as the years have gone on? It's obviously a great sign, but I just wonder if you've noticed that or if maybe I'm just trying to will it and think that it's getting bigger.
No, I appreciate your passion there too, Priest, but it is getting bigger. And, you know, every team that I've had the privilege to be a part of clearly has not only sometimes the on-the-field post-game prayer, but certainly has the in-the-locker-room pre- and post-game prayer. And so that's been a very integral part of game day, if you will, for teams. In addition to, as I mentioned, the night before, either a Catholic mass, clearly a Catholic mass, and then also a Protestant service too. So, and there's Bible study in every one of these weekly Bible study in every one of these NFL teams, conducted by either the team chaplain or a representative. So it's and that's done with both coaches and players alike. So there's the presence of religion and Christianity, and in particular also Catholicism is strong in the NFL.
And I think it's so important that we hear that and hear it from someone like yourself, because unfortunately the media is quick to tell us about when somebody does something wrong off the field, and these stories aren't being reported enough. And it sounds, Mark, without putting words in your mouth, like you're seeing it on a, for all intents and purposes, regular basis.
Absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned, I love seeing the attendance that goes on on a Friday of game week for Bible study amongst the players, and then also or participation, you know, attendance and participation. And then certainly when on Saturdays, if we play on Sunday, the attendance and participation, whether it be in a Zoom mass or whether it be in a chapel service, it's tremendous. And it's a serious part of a weekly schedule for players and coaches alike. Father Tom Ray, our team priest, does an outstanding job with our team in terms of Zoom masses. And we're just very, very thankful to have and grateful to have those opportunities.
Yeah, and there's strength in numbers. You know that there's, on Sundays, there's a whole city of people praying against the Bengals, whoever your opponent is. And obviously the people in Ohio putting in overtime on their prayers for Cincinnati to win again.
Oh, there's no question. In fact, when I was a collegiate head coach, and I'm not returning to this like as a rabbit's foot, but it was very important for us, our teams, in my 11 years as a head coach, to have a Catholic priest on the sideline. And if we didn't get to play in right, maybe through the good Lord, we could get better execution. So it was always helped priest there with us, you know.
Let's close, Mark, by having you share with us about all the years that you've been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as being a father and a grandfather.
Well, I appreciate that. Very, very fortunate to. I got married in 1976, and have had the privilege to be married to Kathy, my wife, for the last now 47 years, and very, very pleased to have three children of my own, of which now I've also got five grandchildren, and I hope to have six and seven coming shortly. So we're very, very blessed with the family and family life and the children that we've got.
Fantastic, fantastic. And are there any other footballers in the family?
No, actually, we've got a number of young ladies in the group, in the grandchildren that are soccer players and basketball players. We did have a high school football player and a high school rower, if you will, in that group. But we've got quite a contingent of soccer and basketball players coming up, and we're excited to have the privilege to see them play.
Wonderful. And it sounds like we all should be praying for what sounds to be a couple more grandchildren that are presumably on the way.
Well, we'll take all the prayers and support and good thoughts we can for that. Yes, sir.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mark, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate all that you're doing for Catholic sports across the country here. Again, you're a tremendous advocate, and we deeply appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. And folks, with us having a coach on the line, let's close this week's episode with a prayer for coaches and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Proverbs 10, the one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes whom you have entrusted to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.